Greetings. This is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show today, but first I have a couple announcements to make. We've got our summer conference, Transformation Celebration, and that's Friday, June 28th, and through Monday, July 1st, and it's near Mount Adams in Washington State. And if you want to join James Gillen, Laura Eisenhower, Dr. Dream, Mark Peebler, John Kelly, Neil Kramer, Spencer Barkley, Joel Garbin, Tasha and Victoria Lalinquist, you're going to have an amazing experience because these are all top-notch speakers and they've all been picked, you know, according to their heart and service to humanity. So we have some of the best speakers. So be enriched, inspired, and energized as you share in a wide spectrum of fascinating knowledge with pioneers of new thought, new technology, and spiritual wisdom. And this renowned annual conference is an incredible opportunity to visit the gorgeous natural environment near Mount Adams and soak up the beauty of the rivers, the forest energy, the vortexes, and enjoy the company of fellow travelers, contemplate inner landscapes, skywatch with a group of experienced observers, and basically recalibrate your juju and come and participate in an unforgettable experience. Every year we have massive flyovers. We have huge ships coming in doing dazzle duty and in support of what we're doing. So the benevolents come in and are in full support of the conferences and the work we're doing here, and they end up showing themselves, whoever wants to actually see and feel their energies. And so to get on with today's show, we've got Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream, and they offer sessions relating to spiritual, emotional, and physical issues. They utilize a protocol of multiple modalities, including but not limited to astrology, tarot, clairvoyant readings, essential oils, rife frequencies, sound and vibration, talk therapy, flower and gem essences, color therapy, crystals, bioenergetic activation, and multidimensional energy work, to name a few, which could be a 10-hour show, but we've only got 1 hour, so I want to bring them on the show. So are you guys with us?
Yes.
Sure are.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's good to be here.
Well, I don't know where to start after that intro, but first of all, I think it's going to be awesome having you guys up here at the ranch to be able to see and experience the energies and all these multidimensional beings cruising around, including the ships. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun, you know, out in the field and during the conference.
Oh, gosh, we're so looking forward to it. It's going to be really exciting. I've heard so much about the ranch, and it's going to be incredible.
You know, I've got there's so many things in the news right now. I mean, it's just getting crazy. I mean, the planet's getting slammed with gamma ray bursts, solar flares, cosmic rays. The shields are down. We're moving into a highly charged place in space, you know, with the alignment with galactic plane and Sirius and Alcyon. And you know, I'm curious what your take is on this, either one, on this massive vibrational lifting and awakening that's well underway.
Well, I guess I'll answer this one. I think it's incredible. Lots of people are definitely feeling it. I mean, it's like all the stuff that needs to go is getting just shaken up and purged. And, you know, it's just about these activations right now. And, you know, we had the Uranus square Pluto on Monday, which was huge because that really digs deep into the roots of all that we are while opening us up to receive these activations in pretty profound ways. And, you know, just with all that's happening in the cosmos with this alignment, you know, it's just really about being open to it and allowing ourselves to receive and upgrade ourselves without the massive distractions of the news and all the different stuff that's trying to yank us away from that, keeping us in a lower density, which makes it easy to absorb all the toxins of chemtrails and everything else that's trying to shift us away from, you know, what we're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a choice right now. It seems like, you know, I've been getting down to the basics. You know, people, you know, create all these esoteric truths and things on top of things. And although, you know, I've had my own experiences and I've gone to the source itself and back in near-death experiences, I'm very grounded. And it seems like it all boils down to right now is choice and action. And the consequences or reactions to those choices, either for the good or the hard lesson, you know, it seems.
Yes.
I mean, it is definitely, this time that we're being called forth, and it's, it appears as, certainly a bit of a test. We have so many clients coming into our office, and it is that, that opportunity to have a reaction, that is less than positive, looking at all the, sort of chaos around us. And I think that the challenge right now is just to stay balanced in the face of all of this. And, on my end, I'm kind of telling myself, err on the side of a positive perspective. Whatever I'm looking at, I'm erring on the side of a positive perspective on it.
Yeah, it is definitely. I've been doing that as well, and even though in the face of adversity and people showing me their worst side in some cases, I try to hold that highest potential up and keep projecting that into the situation. Although it isn't easy sometimes, especially when you have, you're just being overwhelmed with friends and family and relationships and all these things happening, and working, with the as a counselor too, it's just like, my God, I'm going, it's like Nutsville right now on the planet.
It
Yeah,
is.
it is. I like to, just see it all sort of as a tool. It's like, I like to just really make it a fun thing. I think the processing can get so overwhelming and it can really sink us at times. But when we really embrace it and we allow ourselves to recognize that this is the most potent part of our work right now, and to not sort of like, make it, oh, I have got my issues again, or I can't believe he or she is doing this, or my mom did that. It's like, instead of going into the sort of humdrum, like, oh God, this is just so terrible. The best part is just really embracing it and recognizing that, it's that movement of energy, and we get to sort of guide it and direct it because we're artists of perception and the way we choose to relate to this reality. Like, we can look at it, we don't need to deny it, but we can create a new relationship to it in a way that really serves us, so that when we are sort of sinking into those vibrations from others and just some of the heaviness, we can confidently, transmute it based on the fact that it's pushing us to the edge for a reason, so that we do snap on some levels to just burst out that illuminated aspect of who we are, which is truly divine. It really does set our blueprint free. And that's part of why we're being pushed to the edge. And if we don't allow it to set us free, then we do get ensnarled and, in this enslavement. But I think it's really hard for anybody to get immersed in that anymore, just because the heart, and the spirit is just the strongest part of who we are. And it's got a survival thing. It's like, wait a second. When it just really starts to hit people, there's so much available as far as resources go for all the work that the light workers and conscious beings have done, that there's so much to fall back on that's safe and positive for the people that are really disorientated by all of this, which is excellent.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because you kind of just went into the other question, so you already got that one out of the way, but which I love. But it does seem like there are people that are caught up in the endless process, and they're going to the endless workshops and the endless things and everything else. And if they just really pay attention to themselves and what's going on and own it and get on with it, it's time for that. And I've seen that over and over again, where people, and it is important to have space where people can share and heal and things of that. But there also seems to be a thing going on where people are just stuck in their story, and they keep telling the same story over and over again. And to me, I was going, okay, what's the next step? How do we just like create a new story, and how do we stop running this wheel, this hamster wheel of the old story?
I mean, I think that's a great point. It's about taking our power back. I still have clients showing up that are so ready to give up their power. What should I do? Asking me, to give all the answers. And part of the role, that I'm here to play is to just assist people in finding themselves. They have the answers, but even so, here we are in the middle of 2013, and there is still a, this underlying energetic for people just not willing to really step quite in yet, or maybe just the experience hasn't opened them up enough, cracked them open enough that they can really expand beyond it. And so this is what's happening. I guess we see people waking up, or, you know, tuning in to more of their true nature every day.
Now, what I see is that, you know, we talk about this matrix, you know, that we're under, and this programming of social consciousness and the Archon Network. There's so many things around this energy that's actually designed to ensnare and entrap the people. And what I see the biggest problem right now is external authority, that people are so programmed to look towards external authority and external healing and external awakening, and it's all external. And I know there needs to be a balance between the external and the internal, but it seems we're so imbalanced in the external authority. You know, even with the Disclosure Project, everybody's waiting for the government to tell them it's okay to accept the obvious, that UFOs are here. They've been here throughout history, and it's an undeniable fact if you do any research. But, you know, that again, all this external programming, it's a hard program to break, and very few can actually break out of seeking, you know, everything externally versus going within and internally creating their own inner guidance, their own inner healer, and things of that nature.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. When we externalize things too much, or we create external beliefs that are based on other people's information, it's not like those things really manifest. You know, people are always like, oh, if you believe it, you can create it. You know, we create our reality based on our beliefs. Well, we lead ourselves on based on beliefs that are somebody else's beliefs, and we grab onto that, you know, maybe like the rapture or what's going to happen in 2012 or some of the predictions that people grab onto, that they kind of give their power to those things, and they stop, you know, their own work on the inner level. So when those things don't turn out, they're like, oh, well, then that must not exist, or we're doomed now because nothing happened, or I expected this to happen. And it's kind of like you're chasing your tail. And when people get really in touch with their own internal truth and are really in the co-creation and they're stepping up, then their internal truth and their beliefs about it, or their knowingness of it, where they just, it doesn't even have to be a belief, they just emanate it, it's their embodiment, then they're in alignment with everything that's going on, and they can sort of see a short-term range, or maybe just have guideposts about, you know, what might unfold. But it's not so externalized that it's like, you know, they're running for something that has nothing to do with who they are on the inside. And that's why the biggest fallback and the greatest lessons have to do with learning how to fall back on ourselves. That's why we create adversity, because we can only face ourselves in the darkness when it's our stuff, or when it's our crisis. And that's why people manifest it, but then they become victims and they want to go see somebody else to answer their questions. And it's like, eventually you just got to kind of go inward, find that wisdom and take it with you, because that's the best thing that you can take on this journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely seems that the, you know, we're so trapped in the ego drive and our personality, self and body, you know, because of this network and the program. And once we step out of that and start aligning with soul and spirit, you know, then we're guided, you know, by soul and spirit. And then we know, you know, where to go, who to work with, you know, who to hang out with. You know, all these things are answered from within when we're being guided through the heart, you know, and through the soul and spirit. And that's what I see right now, is this we're in this big mid-phase program of people that have been allowing their ego, and sometimes a very wounded ego, to run the show, and the patriarchal program here, which is totally ego and intellectually governed, you know, versus heart governed, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. And if we get back into the heart and get that soul connection, which is connected to source, you know, that things will, you know, turn around, and we'll get back to heaven on earth. And that's what we seem to be in the middle of, is this transitionary period.
Oh, that's awesome. So well said, too.
Yeah, and it just, you know, as we're watching it unfold, I mean, and key word, you know, watching, being the observer of what's going on, you know, we're really seeing how events, and I mean, you know, you mentioned the disclosure hearings and everything like that. These are all steps that are giving people the opportunity to more fully wake up, or to, you know, begin the awakening process. But then there's also a trap in this of feeling the victim and feeling manipulated. And so, you know, even the whole process is one that takes us through so many stages. And so it's fascinating to watch now as people are, you know, coming to more, and then seeing what they're dealing with. And really, we've been at some conferences recently. We did Free Your Mind in Philadelphia, and it was an amazing conference. And for me, it was really incredible because the energetic of the information was so heavy. But I can't remember when I've been to a conference that was so full of love. And so, to me, it's a new energetic that's coming in the process of dealing with all the information that comes from people waking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there does seem to be a major shift. I know a lot of these conferences, you know, especially in the UFO community and some of the other conferences out there, they're kind of like a gathering of victims, I hate to say, or their focus is on keeping things in the past or keeping things intellectual, you know, locked into the intellectual or materialistic, you know, like the UFOs. You got to have the nuts and bolts. They're mainly focused on nuts and bolts and abductions and, you know, shutting down nukes and things like that, which is a good idea. I think that's an awesome idea. But, you know, things of that nature, and their heads are cranked back to the past, you know, Roswell and all these other events. But the problem is contact is happening right now, and it's a spiritual thing, and it's a benevolent thing, and we need to rise to the occasion. But, again, if we don't get in connection, in, you know, connected to soul and spirit and our multidimensional selves, we're going to miss the boat. And that's what I feel sad about, is that a lot of these conferences are totally missing the boat because they aren't getting people in touch with their heart and soul connection and their multidimensional selves, and they're not allowing this experience to happen. And again, people are turning to these external authorities up on the podium for what is true and what to do, and again, they're being misled, you know, to go off in another direction, you know.
Yeah, I mean, That's the hardest part to witness, and I think that's what the focus is for, you know, at least all three of us, is to really bring it back to that, because that's really where the miracle vibration is, and that's where we can really not be trying to solve problems based on our survival or how we're going to remanage the physical reality in our relationship based on external authority structures. It's about getting rid of that completely and stepping into our spiritual abilities and recognizing that we're the most advanced technology, and that we, you know, are shifting things based, you know, in our relationship to the economy and the planet, not based on so much the revolution of, you know, like putting it all like into more of a battle of us and them, but more into a transcendence that allows us to embrace and integrate where we are connected to the past and where we carry these archetypal imprints, and where the real job is to find that harmony within the self rather than, you know, glom onto somebody's belief system or somebody's truth and get lost in a trap or lost in some sort of prediction. Or, you know, it's amazing just to experience all that and to listen to it, but then to take it home and to, you know, let it really rest on the inside to do the work that it needs to do. And because we don't want to, it's not an external thing anymore. It's not about any leader, but recognizing the leader within. And so, you know, be inspired, but, you know, don't give yourself over to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a good point. You're talking about us and them. That's always been something that I have to back up on, because there's a part of me that is this, like, protector energy, you know, and I really want to protect people and their soul and spirit connection and their agreements for coming in here and getting them on track again and things like that. And I have to back away and I go, well, wait a second. You know, that's really not my job. You know, they need to learn to protect themselves, and they need to learn to make their own soul and spirit connection and find out what their own unique purpose is. And I get caught up in that. And then the people that are misleading them and sending them astray and pulling them off their course and back down into the ego and, you know, playing on their insecurities and things like that. You know, it's like I go, ugh, you know, this part of me just wants to, this line comes out, just, you know, wants to choke them out. But, you know, and I know that's not right. I have to curb that energy. But at the same time, I look at this whole thing and I'm seeing that it's almost like there are these benevolent protector spirits out there, these beings, and I'm feeling their energy, and it's like the source itself. and the Elohim, whatever you want to call them, which is plural for gods, and all of these higher dimensional beings right now seem to be moving in that direction where they're just kind of saying enough's enough.
Right.
Have you noticed that? I'm just curious. Have you noticed? It's like all of a sudden, it's like the edict has been passed down, or the energy is coming down, and it's coming in, and universal law is coming in strong. That the action-reaction is being accelerated, and karma is being accelerated, and it just seems like we're at that point where it's just no more messing around.
Oh gosh, I feel that so much, and it's great. It's just such an accelerated time where, you know, we can see a direct result of our actions, our thoughts, and our words, and it's like, you know, that breaking point where certain things just won't float anymore. It just, there's no room for it. It's going to create a crisis that's not worth it. It's like, you know, it's like we've been raised as children, you know, and the guardians, the higher races that assist us are aspects of ourselves that are, you know, crying from the inside to come out while they're assisting us from the outside. And it's sort of like, okay, now you can fly. You've got all the tools. You've got all that you need, you know, and the cage door is open. But some people are like, no, I don't really know how to open that. But like, we can if we want to. But it's like some people are still in the cage. But, you know, the guidance and the law that's out there is, you know, basically just – it's powerful and it's strong and it's a part of us and our own inner like desire to just not go down the track of being lost in the lower aspects of self, whether it be negative or positive ego or any of it, where we're just walking around carrying wounds or we're the product of our environment or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, you know, the law aspect is huge, because the thing is, when we let go of anger and resentment and the victimhood, we release that energy and it backlashes and goes back to the source of where it came from. So if we carry it, though, then we're the ones that are burdening ourselves with the mistakes of others rather than freeing ourselves and letting that energy go back to them for them to get the karmic backlash. You know, so we can't be storers, you know, or containers of others' karma, you know, especially with the elite. It's like we need to rid ourselves of the anger and where we're being held back, because cosmic law and just the forces right now being in alignment with the galactic plane, you know, are quickening this process of release so that the real karma and the real cosmic justice can happen rather than the man-made, which is complete and total manipulation, you know, where the dark ones and the criminals are actually putting away those that are, you know, just been mind controlled or they just did something harmless, and it's just this false authority.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because with these new energies coming in, I'm watching them unfold and I'm watching the backlash. And one of the masters I work with, I love what he said, and he explained it later to me, and he says, you know what the ultimate weapon is? And I said, what's that? And he said, forgiveness. And he said, but it shouldn't be used that way. But he goes, this is how it works. He said, when you forgive somebody and you are sincere and it's heartfelt forgiveness and you release that energy, it leaves your fields and goes back to them, and it's energized tenfold. And now they're going to magnetize an event to them or people, places, and things that's going to match that energy of whatever they did, and they're going to have their experience for their lesson. So he said, ultimately, you know, that you, there's no safety in holding on to these things. There's no security. We think we have to hold on to these things because if we don't, it's going to happen again to us. But you allow the wisdom to settle in the soul, and you release the emotional charge around it and let it go. And then bam, you know, it goes back to wherever the source it came from or whoever perpetuated that event. And then it's done, you know, and ultimately we have to forgive ourselves, you know, for walking into this mess and co-creating this mess, you know, as well.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, I really think just the process of lightening up on ourselves. I mean, I just in our own experience, Laura and I are finding a lot more grounding in humor than we have in the past. That's like a new energetic sort of a tool that we're working with that brings more balance to the experience. And so, you know, but we've really kind of stepped it up this year, it seems like, from the last couple of years. And so, you know, it really is. I think we just need to observe what our reaction, what our like default reaction is, and then decide in that moment, that's the reaction I want to go with, or you know what, this serves me better. And it's just the inner journey and knowing ourselves.
I agree. You know, and you know, the higher planes, when you get in the highest dimensions, it's just pure love and joy and bliss, and humor's an integral part of that. And if you're working with those energies, it's going to come through. One time I was talking to a woman I know, and this was a long time ago, and she was telling me all of her troubles, and really good friend, and she had like three relationships going at the same time, and all these guys loved her, and they all wanted to be with her, and she was just telling me this whole, it was just went on forever. And I sitting there, I just started laughing, and then I started laughing louder, and I almost couldn't control it. And she goes, what's wrong? She goes, what's wrong like this? And I said, I'm sorry, man. I said, you love the drama, you know, and you love the attention, and you've created all of this for the attention and for the drama, you know, and you can uncreate it in the next moment and just be pay attention to your choices and actions and where you're going. And it all just became humorous and funny. And these beings that we connected to up here, these seventh dimensional, you know, they're feline or lion beings that are throughout history, you know, Sekhmet and Mahat and Narsinga and Narissa, they call them. It's all throughout India and Egyptian lore that are coming in now to help out a lot of the light workers, because there are some pretty dark forces out there that are strong, and we need a little bit of strength on our side to deal with these things. But some of these beings are like 17 feet tall, and they have magnetized light bodies. They're massive beings. The strength and courage from these beings is their power is beyond measure. But the bottom line is they're funnier than hell when you connect to them, because they have nothing to prove.
Yeah, that's the best part. You know, it's just available. It's like, you know, there's nothing to hang on to. There's nothing to get too serious about, because in the higher dimensions, you know, none of these dilemmas or crises or infiltrations are running rampant, you know, because the soul has lifted itself out of the game. And, you know, we came in here and we, you know, are willing to play it a little bit to then remember, you know, the way out to help souls, you know, cross over or inspire them to just open up to a new way of seeing things. But that really is home, you know, that energy you're talking about. I think we all, when we're in that vibration, it's like, ah, you know, it doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter what roof over our head is there, it's like that's home, you know, and the beings that surround, it's like, you know, that's where it's at. So I love it.
Yeah, I have a, that's what I have. I hang out with my friends in the unseen, and I'm just totally all blissed out. And, you know, they're operating under universal law, and there's just incredible communication, and everything's telepathic. You know, there's no hidden agendas, no deceptions, no, you know, the wounds and traumas aren't there that create those. And it's an interesting mix. And then I have to deal with society, and I just go, oh my God, you know, help me, Mr. Wizard, on this one. But the yeah, it's an interesting concept, and that's what I'm seeing right now too, is that we are being, you know, upgraded, and even our DNA is being opened up, and one of those lines is telepathy. And in a world of telepathy where people are in touch with their inner sensitivity and inner guidance, it's just the lies don't work anymore.
Right. I mean, that's the whole reason that, you know, transparency isn't, you know, widely available for all of us is that, you know, so many of the collective are still living with guilt and shame, and don't know. I just believe they don't know that there's a way to release it. They're just not at that place yet. And so, you know, it's where we're headed is glorious. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
transparency, telepathy or telempathy, as Bashar says. I mean, the future's looking really, really beautiful. We've got to figure out a way to help each other release and expand beyond where we're at right now, you know, and that's the big you know, process with and helping and assisting people. This is the fine line, while empowering them, you know,
Yeah.
while giving them the tools, so it's really all about them. And it's because old paradigm would be that it's about any particular individual and what they're able to do for the collective. New paradigm is no, all of us have to step in and do what we came here to do. And so how do we get, you know, 7 billion people to say, okay, I'm ready for this now?
Yeah, good question. You know, there does seem to be what I've noticed is that it does seem to be polarities happening, and different levels of those polarities. And you know, whereas some people are choosing the downward spiral and to just hang on to, you know, the ego drive or the wounded ego drive or social consciousness or the old paradigm. They're just hanging on tooth and nail to this old paradigm, and a lot of their choices and decisions are coming from that. And then there's the other people that are really just going for it. They're saying, hey, I'm going for soul and spirit. I'm following my heart. I'm making my own inner connection, you know, with God, spirit, creator, whatever you want to call it. And I'm letting go of the old program. I'm making changes. I'm moving on. And I'm going to follow my heart and soul and spirit, period. You know, and there seems to be other, you know, in-betweeners, I guess, that have a kind of a foot in both camp. They're playing both worlds, which are having the hardest problem right now, because they can't, you can't play both worlds anymore, because the old world, the old paradigm is just crashing. It's falling apart.
Oh, yeah. You know what I say a lot of times with clients, it's like being on an airplane and sitting there with a parachute on about ready to jump, but being completely paralyzed at the thought of having to jump, to where you're on a plane that's about to crash and you've got a choice. And that's that uncomfortable in-between of, oh my gosh, I have to jump, and if I jump, the plane's going to crash. And that anxiety of just being in the in-between where people are trying to push you out the door and you're like, no, I can't. What's going to happen if I jump? And it's the gravity of those death cycles that people fear, because we've been taught to give our power away. We've been taught to have somebody stand in that place for us. Mm-hmm. So people are afraid of surrendering and falling back on the soul. It's like, well, what's going to be there if I let go? And it's terrifying for people, because it's not about ego, and it's not about their identity or their status or what they've bought into that's, you know, created the identity that they carry. But when they do, they find, okay, well, that can be called the dark night of the soul, or it can be like this massive transformation that doesn't need to be dark and terrifying. But the liberation that rises from that is where it takes one. And so, you know, that's sort of the in-betweens. It's like, okay, they're about ready to be pushed out the door. But then some are just, you know, literally like, oh, you know, I'd rather plane, you know, go down in this crash, because I refuse to go into that territory, because it's like they honor the programming. They stand mm-hmm. by it. And it's just interesting to watch, you know, how everybody is sort of, you know, working with this.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, because, you know, there's also people on the plane hanging onto them saying, don't jump, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to hold them back into the old paradigm, you know, and the old relationships and things like that. And it's kind of interesting watching this whole dance. You know, I haven't totally figured out my place in this dance at times, because, you know, there's a part of me that just, you know, really cares so much and loves people and really want to see them get it, you know, this time around, and jump, you know, and make that jump. You know, the other part of me is just going, God, they you know, they've got to decide themselves. They've got to make this jump. You know, they've got to do it. And I think that's what's happening right now in spirit too. I think there's a lot of masters up there, saints and sages, just smacking their foreheads going, oh my God, they were so close, you know, and,
yeah.
And they just want to get behind them and just kick them out the plane, you know?
Yeah. Oh, when you said that though, I saw you just on the ground with your arms wide open, just like with the biggest hug for anybody who's ready to jump. Just like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it, you know? And, you know, it's kind of like it's a weird thing, because you've got people either really love you or they really hate you, one or the other. And especially when, you know, because people fear change and the unknown, and we represent both of those. But you're never going to grow and experience anything until you're ready to change and experience the unknown.
Yes.
I mean, there comes a time in everyone's life where they've just got to take that leap of faith, you know, and it shows up for all of us in different ways. I remember when I first met Laura, I was interviewing her for my radio show, and she said, you know, I'm not afraid to die. You always wake up somewhere. And I have never forgotten that. I can't even tell you how many times I've repeated that to people, because it hits this great point home, you know, of just the, you know, nothing dies. And it's just like, what really are we afraid of here? And for those of us that have gone through whatever sort of, you know, dark night of the soul or our own death experiences and things like that that have allowed us to let go, it's I'm just wondering what's going to happen that's going to allow more massive numbers go through that experience and know that the leap of faith is actually safer than not doing the leap of faith.
Yeah, I've had quite a few people call me with emails and actually call me on the phone that are going through just incredible challenges right now, you know, and they have kids and all kinds of things. And I, you know, they're going, I don't want to be anymore. I just want to check out. I don't even want to be here anymore. And I just go, you know what? I said, you have kids and you have a glorious future ahead of you. All you need to do is step into it and you know, release the past. You know, find that courage, you know, within and step into it. And everything's going to manifest when you align with soul and spirit. I mean, that's, I went through my near-death experience and then, you know, I was in commercial real estate. I had the, you know, the fancy car. I had the big house. I had the boat. I had, you know, I was a board of director on the Chamber of Commerce. I was in commercial real estate and have my own office. You know, people don't know about that side of me when they see me now. But, you know, I walked away from all of it, and people go, you're nuts. And I'm building this ark out in the middle of a field, you know, up in Trout Lake in the middle of nowhere. And everybody told me, you're nuts. This is never going to happen. You know, you're never going to make it. Where are you going to get your money from? How are you going to pay for this? I said, you know, I don't know. I said, all I know is that this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And it all just unfolded, and I look at what's here now and I'm just blown away, and it doesn't make any sense on a logical level if I just looked at things logically, but spiritually everything manifested.
Well, thank goodness you found comfort in the not knowing.
Yeah.
And that's what people are so afraid of. They're afraid of what other people will think. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of embracing the mystery. They're afraid of their power and their creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want to, you know, and that's what is being used. That's exactly what they're siphoning away from people for their own benefit, for their own elitist, you know, position in the world. And, you know, people got to, you know, say, wait a second. I have all this, but I'm giving it to them. Let me give it to me and be on this adventure like you did. And, you know, Dr. Dream and I, you know, similarly, you know, when we just abandoned everything and just completely just surrendered to our mission, I mean, everything lined up. It was magic. And that's the beauty of that surrender. So it's just such a great story. Cause...
Definitely it is. And, you know, I got to tell this one little short story, but it was really funny. But when I was building this building here, the bridge house, we were putting shingles on the roof. And I went and got some shingles from a local guy. And I had about enough to finish less than a third of the roof. And we finished, we put the roof on, and we're out of shingles. And I was meditating, and they said, don't worry, the shingles will come. And so I go, I'm just trusting this. So we finished, we just put the last shingle on, we stopped, and this truck comes driving up the driveway, and this guy says, hey, I've got this whole truckload of shingles I'm not using, and I just, do you want these shingles? And I said, sure, you know. And so he drops off these shingles. And so we get those on. And then same thing happened. We finished those, and then I got a real clear message. Don't worry, everything is going to manifest. It's going to be there, and so we finished the last shingle, and everybody was, the two guys helped me. They were giving me a bunch of crap, and they're going, "Yeah, right, Mr. Wizard, where's the shingles?" You know, and I go, "Hey, they're coming. It's lunchtime." And so we go to lunch. And we come back, and here's another guy with a truck full of shingles that talked to the other guy, same thing. And so we finished it off, and it's just been one event like that after another. When you're in the flow and you trust in soul and spirit and you have your inner guidance going, things happen. You know, they just manifest like that.
Gosh, yes. That's such a great story.
That's the trust frequency, and we love that. Sometimes Laura and I just look at each other. We don't ever mention the trust frequency when we're completely in it. But when I find myself just slipping out of it, I'll just look at Laura and say the trust frequency, and it's enough to just bring me, you know, right back in it. And it is. It's a frequency. It's an energetic, and that, you know, being in that energetic of trust then attracts experiences that reflect that trust back to us. And so, you know, these are really great things to foster and nurture within ourselves.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things I've been working on is trust, you know, and especially when trusts are broken and things of that nature, and just really get into the forgiveness mode and knowing why those trusts were broken and other people's processes and other forces involved in breaking those trusts. But it is so important. Without trust, it's hard to even have a friendship, you know. And to go to any deeper levels, you definitely have to have trust. And the real trust is in aligning with soul and spirit and knowing, you know, what agreements you have and knowing that you are where you're supposed to be and not being pulled off of that course. And there are a lot of pulls out there and strong pulls, and some people aren't strong enough and are, you know, they can even be pulled off of course by these darker influences or from patterns in their own egos. But it does. It's a tricky one for me. I'm still working on that one, but you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky one at times. And you know, I realize a lot of it has to do with, you know, trusting the self, trusting the needs of the self. You know, if we don't trust the self, then we are always thinking, you know, we go into self-doubt. We don't trust our instincts. We don't trust, you know, our natural protection. So if we trust ourselves, it means we trust our boundaries and we trust that the standards that we hold are appropriate for ourselves, and we don't give, you know, into relationships that are going to, you know, disappoint us and break us. And that was an ongoing pattern for me where I was too trusting and was, you know, disappointed and hurt and, like, you know, all sorts of weird things will happen because of it. And now I'm just trusting myself. And if I feel, you know, a weird energy, or I go into just, you know, the openness and the open heart of just giving the person the benefit of the doubt to the point where they get in my space too much, it's like there's a stop energy, because my spiritual immune system recognizes that I'm not going to do that again. You know, this is not something I'm going to repeat. And so now the more trust I have in myself, the more trust I can have in those around me, because the ultimate trust is trusting source, trusting spirit, and trusting our relationship to it and everything that comes along with the decisions we make, and feeling empowered that that's appropriate for us. And it just protects us from allowing, you know, the wrong people in. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's been such a huge one for me.
Yeah. I had a being appear to me not too long ago, a feminine energy. She appeared to me and she just pointed right at me and she said, "Trust you." You know, and you know, because I'm in that same boat, I see the potential in people. I see their highest potential. I know who they were in past lives, and you know, I see this greatness within them. But you know, I get caught sometimes because they're not always expressing that greatness, and they're still working out, you know, some old programs and issues that are keeping them from, you know, that full potential.
Right.
Laura did a post recently about, you know, she does so many astrological readings on people. Laura, why don't you share that, you know, about the shamans and, you know, everything? I just love that because it's such a positive perspective and it's what's really there.
Right. Well, you know, most of the time, I mean, when I read people's charts, it's like everybody's got unbelievable energies of, like, mastery. You know, they're either shamans, masters, avatars, priestesses, but those are all labels. I mean, but they're obviously advanced souls that are way beyond this, you know, third density. I mean, I know we're not really in third density anymore, but whatever, you know, associations we still have with that in our personality nature that comes out and kind of, you know, creates friction or creates crisis or drama, you know, people carry energies that are so beyond that. And the energies that are afflicted that cause, you know, the negative ego or the attachments to old paradigm stuff are little splinters compared to the rest of that being and what their potential is. And so I fully relate. I mean, I see people's potential and I forget that they might still be lost in the splinters. So, you know, learning how to kind of hold space for them, keeping them somewhat at arm's length and sort of nurturing that process, you know, through empowering them and helping the personality nature and the ego nature, like serve it or like be in service to it or become so identified with it that some level of osmosis happens where the ego nature becomes divine will. It becomes the champion of your spirit, mm-hmm. you know, and until that relationship happens, and until that fusion happens, then, you know, people are often bipolar or they go back and forth between their higher, greater self and the one that's still somewhat trapped that's on its way to become initiated into that realm. But yeah, in people's charts, it's amazing. I mean, I don't think one person I've read doesn't have that level of mastery and expansion and awareness and wisdom. It's just these little splinters in this small experience that we're having compared to the greatness of all that we are. I mean, not small experience, but you know what I mean, like limited experience.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to see every day. And then to help people walk into that. which is what we're all doing, and at the same time trying to navigate how we can, you know, protect ourselves and be, you know, at our peak level without absorbing too much or opening up too much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I was telling somebody one time, I could, you know, it's all a matter of how you're going to interpret the experience, you know, as a victim or a god, you know, and, you know, where are you going to go with it, you know, from here on out? And, you know, it's time for us to, you know, even though these immense lion beings are starting to show up, it's time for us to find our own lion and, you know, find that courage and strength within. And, you know, we are these vast beings, immense beings, and, you know, we're not these little meat sacks, you know, that we're running around with in these these personalities, you know, and we're not the program that we've been controlled with through this matrix. You know, we're so far beyond that. The key is, you know, how much of that are we going to step into, it seems like, and how much are we going to continue to play out the old paradigm?
Totally.
I mean, as long as everything keeps bringing us back to the core of who we are, you know, as long as we don't, you know, this is my perspective, as long as we don't get caught up in all of the distractions outside of us, you know, and that it all brings it back to us, to allowing us a greater understanding of self, mm-hmm. I think we're in a good place. But the trap, I mean, the trap is set. Even with the greatest contact and everything else, you know, the pitfalls of going outside of ourselves or looking at anything outside of ourselves as the end all be all, the savior, the, you know, whatever it is, that appears still to be the greatest trap for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always felt that, like, you know, I mean, I love Christians, I love everybody, you know, but one of the biggest traps and the most disempowering program I've ever seen is this savior program, that somebody outside is going to do this for you, and you know, we can do whatever we want until the judgment day. You know, up here I'm seeing the forest just being raped and taken out and everything. They go, well, it's all, it's either, you know, people, the, we'll say, well, it's all an illusion, you know, it doesn't really matter anyway, because the world's going to go to hell anyway, and you know, we're just going to do whatever we can till the rapture, and you know, we don't have to do anything. I have a bumper sticker, you know, it says, what if we destroy the environment before Jesus comes, you know, or destroy the planet before Jesus comes. It's kind of funny.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's that disempowering program of either God or the devil did everything, and when are we going to take responsibility and be accountable for our own choices and actions and the reactions to that?
Yeah. I mean, these are both creative powers that run through us, you know, God and the devil. They're really, you know, one in a lot of ways. One is the adversary to the other, and it's sort of like, you know, putting your hand on a hot stove and knowing, okay, that's not where I want my hand to go. And it's learning wisdom based on, you know, falling into those traps and growing from that, rather than becoming an agent of the dark side, you know, and staying in that trap and saying, you know what, I don't want to emerge. I'm going to stay right here and corrupt myself to the point of never emerging. And that's what, you know, the elitist type mentality has been, is they don't really care to redeem themselves. They would rather, you know, become lords of and masters of that realm, and that's the role that they're playing, you know, for a reason that we need to identify with on a more personal level rather than externalize it as far as blame, because these creative forces run through us and nothing has any power over us unless we give it to it. And, you know, when we can recognize how these, you know, polarities really work within us, just like light and dark, we can recognize the darkness is the soil. It's the fertile ground where things grow from. It's that darkness. It's the womb. But if we don't stand in that power, other things are going to get in there and run that show for us. But when we're really in balance, you know, our enlightened consciousness plants seeds in the darkness and it births reality, you know, realities that are beautiful and divine. But when we're not in that, you know, then it's the war between good and evil, and it's God or the devil, and it's either being an angel or it's being a scumbag, you know, rather than integrating the two.
Well, I think it seems like it goes back to universal law. That's what I see. It's very simple. And, you know, everybody thinks universal law is this massive law book, you know, and it isn't. It's in the heart of hearts of everybody, you know, and it's basically, you know, universal peace, brother sisterly love, you know, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody, equality, you know, just seeing the creator in all creation and behaving as such. It's not real complicated, and we know when we're when we aren't being honest, and we know when we're not integrity, and we know when we're making choices from the darker side of self or the limited side of self, and you know, we're fully aware of that, and you know, it's tricky, but I guess it just goes back to choosing the higher potential, choosing the soul and spirit, and choosing to align yourself with this shift that's happening, which I think resistance is futile. You know, there's no way of continuing, the status quo. It's on its way out.
Yeah. No. I mean, you shift or get crushed under the pressure of it. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. The shift's hitting the fan right now, and we have to get with it. You know.
Exactly.
Yep. Get with the program.
Yep, and that's the thing, if we stay beneath it, or beings that do stay beneath it, they don't really recognize, they don't feel that urgency in their nervous system. They don't feel the reaction to being controlled. They go along with it saying, oh, well, that's what's best. That's what our leaders are saying. There's a war on terror. You know, the police state is necessary to protect us. They don't question it, but it's the ones that are just so identifying with their spirit that are saying, what? You know, there's just a huge... it doesn't have to be a reaction, but there's a huge response to it, which is to completely not be anywhere near it or a part of it, and seeing the difference. Mm-hmm. And everybody is unfolding at the speed at which is good for them and works for them. But at the same time, if one isn't going to be triggered into a reaction that's going to just give them the tools to move away from it, that's nothing we can all really do. I mean, we're not here to, be saviors, but definitely be resources of the information so that people, can find it. But when they choose not to, it's like, that's the hardest part to witness. But at the same time, they're not wired to know the difference. And so they've allowed themselves to be captured on a certain level, but eventually will manifest, their soul will manifest the experiences they need to be able to see the difference eventually. And that's why the future looks bleak for that sort of mindset. Because it's going to push them to the edge until they realize that they're imprisoned and that there's a whole other reality out there. And so even if people don't make it, they're going to get what they need to manifest a crisis to set themselves free.
Yeah, that's, I've always used that. You know, some real hard lessons and some train wrecks are around the corner when you don't align with soul and spirit. And that's what people need. And I've had to really pull back and stop being the savior. And sometimes the best thing for people is to have those experiences, because that's basically their soul has designed that, and that's what they need to get through this experience. They could do it quickly and gracefully. I mean, that potential is always there, but it's interesting how so many people choose the train wreck, and they choose the really hard lessons.
It's I don't know if you have children, but I mean it's very much the same way. Having children, you want to, you love them so much, you want to do everything for them, almost really to a fault, because they came here to have their experience, and yeah, they chose us, but they need to have their experience. I can't keep my daughter from having less than comfortable experiences in her life, as much as I would like to on a certain level. I know that those are the experiences that are going to allow her to shift and allow her the opportunity to grow, learn, and evolve, and that's what she's here for. So there is that energetic of just being in place and always playing the role that in the moment I know I'm here to play, but also allowing the process for people.
Exactly. Yeah, I have a daughter as well, and luckily she's pretty sharp. I mean, she's a triple Scorpio, and she busts me.
Wow.
She just busts me all the time on stuff. I'm sitting there running things around my mind thinking, okay, I should do this and this, and how can I do this better and everything. She goes, Dad, get rid of that person. She goes, you know what to do. Stop it. Like this. It's really funny. And she's very intense, or she'll nail me on something that I'm doing, that I need to look at. And it's great having that feedback. And what was wonderful with us is that when she was born, she came to me before she was born. And she came to another woman named Lorelei Lammers, who's just a beautiful woman, very gifted woman. And she appeared to both of us, and she had a conversation. And we met later, and we both shared this conversation. It was just unbelievable. But she gave us her name. She told us what her name was, who she was, and her whole journey. And I told her, I said, I don't think your mother and I are going to be together. It doesn't look like that's happening because she's choosing, alcohol and partying and multiple partners, and things like that. And so I said, it's like, I'm going to do all I can to be there for you and keep it together, but it doesn't. And she turns around and she goes, I know. She goes, I'm fully aware of that. She said, I'm coming in for that experience. How can I help others unless I experience this myself?
Oh my
And
gosh.
I'm just going, whoa, this is intense. And so her name's Allura, which means divine counselor, And so it was kind of interesting because having a preview of that and understanding, and then talking to her later about that conversation we had before she came in, she totally understands it. And I was there to her the best of my ability that I could be, considering the circumstances. But now we're really tight, and everything's great. And I have a great relationship with her. But I knew during that there was going to be a period of time where we would have to be apart, and separate, and she would have to go through those experiences. But because of that, she's an amazing woman right now, and she's very sharp and very to the point and knows what's going down and can help counsel others because she's gone through it herself. And even at 6 years old, she was counseling her mother, telling her mother, you got to knock this off. You're not the same person when you drink and things like that. So, she was already there, kind of dropping the story, dropping the bomb down.
Oh, that's
Love that.
incredible. That's just amazing. Yeah, I'm enjoying, parenting so much and watching my boys just emerge into all these truths and just into just really just honoring, the mother, the planet, and just everything that's going down. And I know we've been through, oh my God, I just can't even believe they're well adjusted. I can't even believe, at the end of every day, I was just, as long as we're all breathing, we had a good day. It wasn't even about anything else. As long as we're alive, as long as we're breathing. And it was kind of a blur because I have twins, and but it's incredible. It's just incredible to be where we are, and in allowing people to have their experiences, the most important thing is, whether it's our children or other individuals, is to just hold space for the goodness within them, and to not empower the issues, and to not see them for the stuff that they're trying to work through, but to really hold space for their beautiful heart, for their spirit, and for everything that represents their potential, so that when they go through these challenges or create adversities, they have a default where they know I've been seen by somebody else. Somebody knows me and can recognize me. Because the biggest thing towards self-destruction or getting caught in traps or mistakes is not feeling validated or feeling like you have any home base or any sense of sanctuary or community. But as long as you know that somebody's there and somebody sees you and cares, that's sometimes enough. Just to make it through, the darkness and the adversities. And so I think that's the role we play as parents, is to just really honor our children for who they are, not try and make them to be anybody else, which is what our parents, I think, did, or some of us at least. And then it gives them, a strong foundation to fall back on. And so, working with clients, that's always so good to empower, because you can't steer people like the ones that are, should I go to San Diego? Should I go here? Should I do this? It's like, no, you need to know how to surrender and maybe, go in a direction that isn't best for you, to see how beautiful the universe is that will allow you to get back on track or to experience something that's useful. Because there's no right or wrong turn. It's what you make of it, it's what you perceive, and it's what you gain from it that counts.
Yeah, exactly. And there does seem to be frequency and vibration, and there are higher vibrational, higher frequency choices that have more love and joy and bliss, and that are more aligned with universal law, but at the same time, some people need to go through the other choices. You have to experience a lot of little what you don't want until you know what you want.
Yeah, totally.
And that seems to be the program. We're up at the end of the hour here. So, what's the best way that people can get in touch with you if they want to, partake of your services and find out more about your work?
Well, we've just introduced a new website called DreamTeamSessions.com, and that's about the work that Laura and I do together. And then Laura's site is CosmicGaiaSophia.com. And I can be reached through Dr. Dream, drdream.com.
Great. Awesome. Hey, it's been great having you on the show. Awesome interview with you guys, and I can't wait to see you here at the summer conference. You know, and again, people, if you want to find out more of that, just send an email to esetireservations@gmail.com. If you want to find more about that, it's a private event and by private invitation, so that's how you get the information. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, I can't wait to see you up here, and I think we're going to have a great time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. We so enjoyed being on the show, and can't wait to see you too.
Thank you, James. This was great.
All right. Take care.
All righty.
All right. It's James Dillon signing off. Have a great day.